We are continuing on to look at the names of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I'm enjoying this so far, and it's refreshing again to remember that the names of Jesus in the New Testament are inextricably linked to the promises and the prophecies of him in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at one of those names today that there is just too much to cover completely, but we're going to attempt to cover some of it and its implications for the church today. And that is the title of Jesus as the chief shepherd. There's a lot about shepherding in the Bible. We're not going to go into all the responsibilities of a shepherd. But all you have to do is read the Bible and you'll figure out what those responsibilities are. And that shepherds don't just wander the wilderness alone. They actually have a flock that they're watching over. This title, chief shepherd, is used one time in the Bible, in the New Testament, by Peter. That's it. But it carries so much with it. And by the grace of God, we're going to try to unpack that today. Stand with me as I read 1 Peter chapter 5. We're only going to be looking at verses 1 through 4, but I want to include 5 in our reading. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege we have of studying it. Apply it to our hearts and lives, we ask, as we look into your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The principle for your first point, the principle of the leaders as a whole, being shepherds of the people, finds its roots in the Old Testament. So this idea of people, leaders, shepherding people, the flock, is an Old Testament concept. For one example, we'll look at David. King David was chosen as a shepherd of the people. Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72 says this. He, that is God, chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfold. So he really was looking after physical sheep. Took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. So God chose this man, David, as you know, because you're good Bible scholars. You know David was the first true king of Israel. Saul acted more as a judge. David was the king, the legitimate king. And he shepherded the people, Israel, faithfully to God, though he himself was a very flawed man. This idea of shepherding goes on in the Old Testament until we eventually see that the leadership, the spiritual leadership, The spiritual shepherds of Israel forsook their responsibility and cared only for themselves. They were in it for the money. They were in it for the fame. They were in it for the power. But they only cared about themselves, the security of being looked up to. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8 says this of those priests. The priests, by the way, who were the representatives of God to the people, the priests did not say, "Where's the Lord?" Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. So historically, the nation of Israel had these spiritual leaders that were called shepherds, and they spoke falsely. They claimed that God was saying one thing when God was actually saying something different. They disregarded God's law. They disregarded His truth. They disregarded His promises. They disregarded His covenant, and they put out their own laws. The shepherds of Israel were so corrupt that God had to severely judge them and personally shepherd His people. And we can say this in a practical way, which we'll get to even more. The modern church today in America and probably around the world, but we'll focus on America, even in our own community, is so corrupt that I wonder why God hasn't judged it already. When transgenderism and homosexuality perversions are being touted by the church as an acceptable practice, and when a church stands up against that, that church is looked down upon and judged as unloving. But God promises to judge those unfaithful servants. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Verses 15 and 16. Then we'll skip over to 23 and 24. No, sorry, 11 and 12. Let's start there. 11 and 12. For Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock where he is roaming, where he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. In God's judgment of the sheep, the shepherds, the sheep have been scattered. They're still there, but they're scattered all over the place. And God says He Himself will shepherd His people. And He'll do this. God will do this by becoming His shepherd. And He'll become that shepherd to His people by sending a better David. David was a good shepherd. He was a faithful shepherd of Israel, but there's a better shepherd. God Himself will shepherd His people by sending a better David to be a truly righteous shepherd to His people. And Ezekiel 34 has a lot to say about these false shepherds, these unfaithful shepherds, these self-serving shepherds. But look now at 15 and 16. And you can read all of Ezekiel 34 to get a picture of what these false shepherds were like. But verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. So unfaithful shepherds get what unfaithful shepherds got coming to them, is what God says to Ezekiel. Look at verses 23 and 24. Let me back up to verse 22. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. This is long after David is gone. My servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. So God promises to send a better David, a better shepherd. And that shepherd is the chief shepherd, Jesus. Jesus is the chief shepherd and is a truly good shepherd of his people. He's the chief shepherd. Now, in saying he's the chief shepherd and in saying that he's a good shepherd, Jesus is contrasting himself not only with the Old Testament false shepherds, but he's also contrasting himself with the wicked shepherds of Israel in that day, including the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. Those people who were in it for themselves. And as a good shepherd, Jesus has some harsh things to say to them. Let's look at one of those, Matthew 23:15. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land." In other words, you're sending out missionaries to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Paul's break. An honorable thing to serve the living God. But only when you serve him honorably. Jesus is saying of these false teachers, these false shepherds, they're children of hell. And they're supposed to be leading the people of Israel spiritually? Jesus, in John 10, verses 7 and 8 said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me or came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them." This is an important soteriological statement. This is a salvation statement. There are sheep and there are goats. Sheep will always be sheep. Goats will always be goats. Goats don't listen to the shepherd. The sheep listen to the shepherd. They hear his voice. The sheep can spot the fake. and want nothing to do with it. The sheep can discern false teaching and want nothing to do with it. And that's why Jesus is so clear. All that came before him, meaning the false teachers, the false prophets, and the people of the day, were thieves and robbers. They didn't care about the souls of the people. They didn't truly care about the flock. They cared about themselves. But the sheep can spot that. The sheep can figure that out. Verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, and he's the good shepherd, and he gives up his life willingly for those he came to redeem, those who are sheep. This is so important for us to understand that Christ is the good shepherd because he died for the sheep. He cares for his sheep, and he gathers them all into one flock through his sacrificial death for them. Jesus Christ didn't come simply to make salvation possible. Jesus Christ came to secure the salvation of those whom the Father had given him. Turn to John chapter 10. John 10, verses 14 to 17. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, there's intimacy there. Jesus knows the Father intimately. The Father knows the Son intimately. And Jesus knows the sheep intimately. And the sheep know Jesus intimately. He said, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And it wasn't just the Jews that he came to. He came to them first. But upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the gospel would then go out to Gentiles. And it would be Jew and Gentile in one family called the church. And that's the way God always planned it. Look at Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Verses 11 and 12 again. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. It's the same kind of language that Jesus used. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. This is not just about the Jews being scattered. This is about God's people, the sheep, Old Testament, New Testament, all being brought into one family, the church, either in the invisible infancy in the Old Testament or as we see it in the New Testament, brought into Christ. There aren't two people of God. There's one people of God saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Old Testament people were saved by looking forward to Jesus coming. New Testament people are saved by looking back at what Jesus did and still anticipating his second return. The Old Testament is filled with this sheep shepherd terminology, and we need to see Christ in it. Now, bring it up to this 1 Peter 5 passage, and we find that it was Peter who was taken aside by the resurrected Christ, who laid down his life for the sheep, and he was told three times to feed the Lord's flock. So again, Jesus is not just saying, I'm the good shepherd, that's all there is. He's saying, wait, I have a flock that needs to be cared for. I'm going away, but you need to work in my place. So Christ, the chief shepherd, commissioned Peter to act on his behalf in caring for his sheep. Now, former Catholics, Peter isn't the first pope. Peter is an under shepherd for Christ. And he never claims the authority that the Catholic Church has given him. He never claims that. In fact, we're going to see the exact opposite. Look at John 21. John 21. I know you're not used to turning to so many passages. John 21, 15 to 17. Jesus is resurrected. He met with his disciples, and he's meeting with Peter now. And when they had finished breakfast, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Whatever these are. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. The importance is not, well, Peter denied Jesus three times, so Jesus is telling him three times. That may be there, but I think the more important thing is there's an emphasis here on care for the flock of God. Take care of the lambs, tend the sheep, feed the sheep. The job of the shepherd is to make sure that the sheep are fed. It's not the job of the shepherd to make sure that the sheep are entertained. It is not the job of the shepherd to make sure that all the sheep are divided into the various age groups. It is not the job of the shepherd to make sure that all these programs are in place for all the sheep so they all have their felt need met. The job of the shepherd, as Jesus put it to Peter, was tend the lambs and feed the flock. Care for them. And he commissioned Peter to be the point man on this. God promised long ago that he would appoint godly shepherds to care for his flock. Long ago he promised that. Before Jesus talked to Peter, God had already planned how this was going to look when the chief shepherd went away. So look at Jeremiah. We got Jeremiah 3, but go ahead and turn to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah I'll read Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's Jeremiah 3:15. God's going to give the people shepherds, real shepherds, people after his own heart. Jeremiah 23:3-4. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. We got Genesis talk here. We got New Testament talk here of going out and telling, sharing the gospel with people and the church multiplying. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. The job of the church and the job of the shepherds is to faithfully guard the flock and care for it, teach it. See, bringing it back to Peter now, Peter recognized that the flock did not belong to him. This was not Pope Peter. This was under-shepherd Peter who had a job to do. And Peter recognized that the flock didn't belong to him, but to Christ. It's God's flock. It's Christ's flock. And then Peter, in our 1 Peter passage, Peter commissions other elders to serve as under-shepherds for the Lord. Peter's not saying, hey, I'm the man. He said, we all got to work on this. We all have to be the people who feed the flock. And notice again, verses 1 and 2 of 1 Peter 5. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, not as Pope Peter. A fellow elder. We're all as elders. We're all on the same plane. We all know we have the same job to do. It is our responsibility as elders to work together to accomplish the purpose of God. There isn't the hierarchy that most churches have. It is elders working together, a plurality of elders working together to accomplish one purpose of feeding the flock. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So shepherd the flock of God that's among you. The Baker exegetical commentary had this to say: Jesus, the great shepherd, commissions Peter in his role as under-shepherd. Peter, in turn, commissions fellow elders as under-shepherds. Shepherding and overseeing the Christian believers in their locale, he assures them that just as Jesus was glorified in resurrection life, they too will receive the crown of immortality for faithfully fulfilling their calling when Jesus appears. It is a high calling to be called to shepherd the flock of God. And shepherds are going to give an account. And as such, they need to lead well. They need to teach good, sound doctrine. They need to feed the sheep well. See, because Christ, the chief shepherd, will return. And he'll demand an accounting from his under-shepherds. Every elder, pastor, shepherd, synonymous, needs to be trembling at this. You remember the parables of the talents that Jesus, the master, gave to these servants. And one get five, one got, you know, ten, five, two, one. They went out and they all doubled it, except the last guy. He got one. He had one when the master returned. And Jesus says in that parable, "You are a wicked, lazy servant." If a shepherd is not faithfully taking the word of God, preaching it to the hearts of people so that the Spirit of God can apply that, if he's bringing in the modern talk of the day, whether it's moralism or immoralism, depending on your church, there is a judgment that's coming. And pastors need to be alert to the fact Jesus is returning, and it is required that we be faithful. That's the requirement. Faithful under-shepherds, well, let me back up. I don't know if I gave this. Christ, the chief shepherd, will return to demand an accounting from his under-shepherds, and faithful under-shepherds will receive a reward that never fades, which motivates them even during persecution and harsh treatment. Verse 4 of 1 Peter 5. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You will have proved yourself to be a faithful shepherd. And when the Lord comes back, you as a shepherd and elder will hear, "Good and faithful servant." Again, the Baker Exegetical Commentary had this to say: the elders especially should not draw back from shepherding the people, for it is God's will that they willingly lead the church, even though by doing so they may make themselves a large target of persecution. Let me put a parenthesis: even from those within the church. Even from those who claim to know Jesus. Peter reminds them that regardless of what they suffer now, they will receive the amaranth, that is unfading crown of glory, that the chief shepherd Jesus Christ, when the chief shepherd Jesus Christ appears. Then the commentary goes on, the adjective amaranth refers to a red flower whose color was unfading. That is the call of faithful shepherds. Not to entertain. There's no place in Scripture where God ever says, "You, shepherd, be creative to draw the crowds and you will be rewarded based upon the size of your ministry." Never. There is never a time in Scripture when Jesus or anyone with authority in Scripture says, "You know, if you make the people laugh, you really got them." Sometimes faithful preaching drives people away. And Jesus did that. And he did it intentionally. I don't think any pastor wants his church to be divided and people go away, but sometimes it happens. Jesus did it intentionally. He knew they were offended, so he just put one more thing on it. Why? So he could look at his disciples and say, "Are you going to leave me too?" To which Peter replies those wonderful words, "Where are we going to go? You have the words of life, of truth. Where else are we going to go to get this?" Faithful under shepherds are to guard the flock, feed the flock, and guide the flock, which belongs to God. One of the things that we as pastors can fall into is talking about our church. How big is your church? What are you teaching at your church? It's not my church. It's God's church. Back to verses 2 and 3 of 1 Peter 5. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Being examples to the flock. It is a high calling to be an elder. We shepherd the church of God under the chief shepherd before whom we will give an account. Now understand, all people will give an account. But James said, we shouldn't all want to be teachers because you do understand that being a teacher puts you under greater judgment. You shouldn't want, unless the Spirit of God is moving you, no one should desire to be a pastor or a teacher in the church. That's the smart thing. Because the moment that you take on that role, you place yourself under the scrutiny of the Spirit of God and the judgment of God. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verses 28 to 30. Now, Paul's been arrested. He's on his way to Rome, but he has this little break. And he's allowed to call the elders of the churches in Ephesus to him. And he starts talking with them and encouraging them and being a blessing to them. And then he says these words to them. Verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And then he says these sombering and sobering words. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, you elders that I'm talking to today, some of you aren't believers. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So what a sobering thing. If pastors, elders, shepherds would just sit still with God for a while and take into consideration the responsibility of faithfully declaring the word, the church at large would not be in the sad shape it's in. And the fact that there are unfaithful pastors is also frightening. Look at Jude. The book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. Verses 20 to 23. Jude 20 to 23. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Here's the shepherd's responsibility now. Have mercy on those who doubt. That's one of the responsibilities of a pastor, is be merciful to people who are struggling with their salvation. Have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. There are people who love to toy with sin. Rebuke them. Grab them by the collar. Bring them back into the fold. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. There are people who come to faith in Christ with a boat load of problems. I love those people. Care for them. Have mercy on them. You see, faithful under-shepherds are true to the Word of God, which the Spirit uses to draw the sheep into the fold of God through faith in Christ, the chief shepherd. People aren't drawn into the fold of God because we've got all the games. We've got the hottest music in town. We've got all kinds of programs. And if we don't have it, just speak to one of our program directors and we'll get it for you. That's not how the church grows. The true church grows by the faithful preaching of the Word of God, even the hard things in Scripture. Back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verses 2 to 5. Might as well start with verse 1. John 10, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is an important passage of Scripture, by the way, before we get to verse 5. The gatekeeper is the Spirit of God. And when Jesus speaks to the sheep, those that the Father has given to him, the Spirit of God works in the heart, opens the door, and the sheep can all of a sudden hear the shepherd's voice. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Unfortunately, in this day and age in which we live, there are a lot of strange voices in the pulpits. There are a lot of strange messages out there, and it can become confusing. That is why it's so important for believers to get plugged into a church that emphasizes one thing and one thing only, and that is the faithful preaching of the Word of God. Not moralism, not psychology, not immorality, but faithfully preaches the Word of God. And true sheep hear that voice. But wolves masquerade as sheep. They do. They masquerade as sheep, and they will receive harsh judgment for causing damage to the flock of God. There is harsh judgment from God on those who damage His flock. Look at in John 10, verses 12 and 13. Let me back up. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd. That's somebody who's in it for the money. They're in it for the fame. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the power. He's a hired hand and not a shepherd. He does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flee. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. It's vital to make sure that we don't ever start embracing that which takes us away from the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. Because as elders, we're accountable to him. And as a sheep in the flock, you're accountable to be listening for error. There's harsh judgment. Look at Jude again. And with this we'll close. It's a little bit ominous, but it ought to help us to remember the importance of paying attention to what we hear. Jude, verses 12 through 16. Let me back up to verse 10. But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand. And they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walk in the way of Cain, and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. In other words, what he's saying is, they've always been there. These people have always snuck into the congregation of God. But there's harsh judgment coming. These are hidden reefs at your love feast. You don't even know they're there. The chief shepherd knows they're there. And he wants his under-shepherds to pay careful attention to them. They might even be nice people. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, and they feast with you without fear. They want to teach their shepherds feeding themselves. Waterless clouds swept along by the wind, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones. And again, good reminder, the chief shepherd is coming back. Jesus Christ is going to return. And he's going to demand an accounting from those who claim to be shepherds. He comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness which they have committed in such an ungodly way. And of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism gain an advantage. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And as the chief shepherd and as the good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. It is the responsibility of shepherds who serve him to lay down their life for the sheep. It is a responsibility for those who hear the word of God to respond to the word of God. And maybe you never trusted Christ as your Savior. He's a good shepherd. You can trust him. And maybe you've been doubting your salvation. We love you. Stop doubting. He's a good shepherd who doesn't beat the sheep. But follow him and serve him. Would you stand with me? We'll pray. Father, we thank you for the love of the good shepherd for us. That Jesus Christ would love us so much that he would die in our place to pay the penalty for our sins, that we might have life through his name. And thank you, Father, that Jesus loved the church and provided for the church by commissioning shepherds to care for the church and to follow his lead. May we be faithful to you, Father, never ashamed, always on the lookout, guiding, protecting, and feeding your people. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our good and faithful shepherd. Amen.